Blog Talk Radio.
And you're listening to another show of Spiritual Connections Radio. And, you know, as always, I'd like to thank everybody for the great feedback we've been getting on the radio show. If you've been following our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com, you've noticed that we've added in a couple new shows. We're constantly adding new shows to the lineup besides the normal show that I do on Thursday nights. Of course, I did the Men's Spiritual Hour, which was last Tuesday. We have some shows that are running monthly, and then we have some new shows that are running weekly. So check out the website to see some of the new people who are now doing their shows every month with us. So really happy to have everybody aboard and to be able to bring all this great spiritual material to you. With that, we have my co-host, Pam Latour. She is actually taking the night off tonight. And if you have been following the website and everything, you'll notice that Pam has her radio show called The Secrets of the Soul Radio Show. And it's every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure to catch Pam Latour with her show on Monday nights. And, of course, we'll miss having her on the show this evening. With that, I would like to let you know that our guest tonight is Robin Friedman. Robin Friedman is a certified EFT master practitioner and trainer and a life coach. And help me with this, Robin. It's a certified, is a hypnotherapist?
Yes, that's correct.
Excellent. So welcome to the show, and it's great to have you
Thank
on Spiritual Connections Radio.
Great to be here. Happy
to
be here.
So, thank you. So with that, we're going to talk a little bit about a whole bunch of different topics tonight, and I'm going to just start you off with, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about how you got started on doing all your spiritual work?
Well, I've been interested in the spiritual since I was a teenager, literally. I've always been fascinated by things unseen, and I didn't grow up religious at all, so I went directly towards the spiritual. I became interested in the subconscious when I was pretty young, and I decided once that I wanted to lose some weight. And so I kind of made this decision. I said, I'm going to eat less and lose some weight. And it didn't happen. And I remember just going, this doesn't make sense. You know, I made this definite decision, and I saw a little bit about the power of the subconscious, because there was, it felt like there was no part of me that didn't make that decision, and the fact that I still didn't, I was kind of like, oh my gosh, you know, this part of us is really strong, and I just became fascinated by that. And also, you know, like the power of a good habit. If you have a good habit, it's like gold, you know, and also maybe a not-so-good habit. So anyway, I became very, very interested in the subconscious and learning how that worked, and that's how I studied the hypnotherapy. And the spirituality, I've just kind of followed my joy, followed my passion, and I'm really interested in things that work and things that are practical. I think, you know, I have this very definite spiritual interest, but also I'm a Taurus, so I'm really grounded, and it's like I'm really spiritual, but I'm really kind of skeptical. It's like I want to see it. I want to see something that works. I need proof. I want it to be practical. I want it to be quick. I want something that works. And that's the two of the modalities that I'm just so fond of are Eden Energy Medicine and also EFT. And both of those, you know, within 2 minutes whether it's worked or not. There's no wondering.
Yeah,
you know,
a great validation.
Like sometimes you might go for a session or something and you go, well, I don't know. I think I feel better. But with Eden Energy Medicine, they work with muscle testing. So, and we work with the energy systems in the body. So it's pretty much like a yes or no switch. You know, is this energy thing flowing? Yes. Or usually it's no. You do the energy exercise, you test again, and it's yes. And it's like, oh, that worked. So I really love that. I kind of need to see it work. And also with EFT, you know, there's testing built into it. So you know, basically, you know if you feel better or not, plus you feel better.
Where did you get started? Like, who did you learn from when you were getting started with EFT?
Well, my husband and I were talking about this today. We actually bought the original Gary Craig series of, I think it was VHS tapes back then. Are you familiar with him at all?
I was going to say, with those type of tapes, yes, a long time ago.
yeah, it was a long time ago. But, you know, I looked at it, I was like, this is weird, and I didn't really do anything with it then. And I don't know, it's everywhere. It's, you know, it's on all the teleseminars. I remember learning it, and I would pull it out when I needed it. It's good for, you know, it's called emotional freedom technique. So if basically I was so uncomfortable by what I was feeling, you know, like if I was furious or jealous or I had some strong emotion, I learned it enough on some teleseminar or some radio show like this, some easy way, I learned it enough to use it, and I would pull it out when needed. After I took the Eden Energy Medicine classes and I studied all the meridians, I was like, it gave me the foundation to know why tapping, you know, you're tapping on these points in your body and, you know, it can look a little weird. But when you understand the foundation underneath it, I was like, you know, it made a lot more sense. And I don't know, I just felt led. I felt guided to learn more. So then I studied with EFT Universe, and I've also studied with the Association of Meridian Therapies, which is more UK-based, with Sylvia Hartman, who's kind of an innovator in EFT, and also the AAMET. So I kind of feel like just by chance I have been immersed in several of the different worlds because, you know, all of these things have their own schools. And through people I've met and interesting coincidences, I've been immersed now in about 4 of these different schools, and I love it because I feel like I'm getting different aspects from different people. It's very interesting.
Excellent. So I noticed you're also a life coach. Tell me about what led you to that, the training, and how you use your life coach skills when you're working with EFT.
Well, I think we could all use a life coach because personally, like, I always wanted to be better. You know, like, you think about somebody who's a great athlete and they get a coach that says, okay, you know, do this a little bit better. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? It's kind of like someone that will hold you to be accountable to do the things that you already know to do. But we don't really do that for ourselves that much. Or we do, you know, we get real rah-rah and disciplined, and then we kind of don't. You know, we slide back a little, or just to have a bigger picture, or I think it's kind of like valuing yourself. It's like getting the highest vision for yourself, like, well, what would it be if I was really, you know, if I really succeeded in this area, how would I feel? You know, how would I wake up in the morning? And when you start, you know, what would I see? What would I do? What would I feel like? What kind of thoughts would I be thinking if I was living that life? And we get a vision of that. And, well, what kind of blocks would come up to keep you from doing that? So when you have a vision of what your life could be like, that's very personal, that's not just somebody else's vision, but my vision of whatever, you know, when I'm successful is I'll wake up in the morning and I'll be looking out at a lake or something like that. When it's very specific to you, the pictures that your subconscious mind gives you, then you start to take it on. You listen to your vision statement every day and you start to believe it and you take these baby steps towards it, and sure enough, things just seem to happen and unfold, and it almost seems miraculous, but it the seed's been planted, you've taken steps toward it, you've watered it, and that vision did come from you in the first place.
It was
always in there. You know, it's not someone else saying, Mark, you should have a radio network. You know, that was your, that came out of you, and then you took steps to do it. So I think the coaching thing is the practical part, to tell you the truth. I think the coaching is, you know, we could all use help moving forwards, taking steps here on earth. And especially a lot of us, quote, spiritual, unquote, people, we get like really excited about the ideas and the feelings, but yet, you know, we might not take that next step. Just that little baby step. It's like that's really all you can do is take a little baby step at a time.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I want to start by talking. We're going to actually go through quite a bit of topics today. And we're going to start with an explanation for people who don't really know what EFT is. So what would be five reasons, you know, with the experience you've had with different clients or people coming to you to work with you, what are five reasons that people would come to you where you would be able to use EFT to help them with something in their lives?
Okay. EFT can get you unstuck. So if you feel like you always get to a certain, and it can work. The great thing about it is it literally works with your energy system, so it can work on anything. So, for instance, you could work on a physical pain. I've always had this pain in my knee. You can tap on that. You can, I have these intense sugar cravings. Have a great story about that. I have a great story about a knee pain. A thing that happened. This is what gets all of us. It could be, and you know, when we're young, we make things true about ourselves because of things that happened. You know, it could be a small thing. What if your mother never let you speak, or your older brother never let you speak, always jumped in. He was always talking all the time, so you feel like you can never speak. Or basically, whenever, like there might be a name that you were called when you were little. So, you know, if you were called Pudgy and someone even now looked at you and said Pudgy or something like that, and you got that feeling in your gut or in your throat, you know, whenever you can feel that emotion in your throat, or think about somebody that hurt you, and when you think about them, you feel it in a place in your body, then that is energy.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Can you think of something? Can you think of something like that happened, and where you literally feel it in your body?
I think if I go back to a personal event in my life, I can remember a time with my mother where, as a young child, I would be trying to express myself, and she would be working on something else and basically would kind of shut down, you know, my voice, my expression.
Right.
So I notice it every once in a while that when I'm working with certain people, that I notice that if I get cut off, if I get shut down a little bit, that I can actually feel that. And
Exactly. And so those things in our energy body, you know how two people can listen to the same conversation, and then, you know, you're standing next to each other, you're both listening to the same conversation, and one person say, "Can you believe she said that?" And the other person goes, "What?" You know, what? And then you say, "Oh, she pushed your buttons, right?"
Yeah.
Or she triggered you. Well, what does that mean? It literally means there's something in us, in our energy system, that can be cleared. But let's see, what else? I do some tapping every day on myself, and I do whatever's kind of present, whatever's in front of me. Half of the time, it's, I have so much to do, I don't know what to do. So something as simple as that, or I feel overwhelmed. I feel so overwhelmed, I don't know what to do first. And then a couple, 3 minutes of tapping, and I'll just go, "Oh, I should really do this first." It makes me clearer, because can I just back up and talk about the energy system a little bit?
Yeah, I was going to say this is a good time to kind of give the people some background on meridian chakras and aura, you know, as we kind of circle around, talk about energy medicine, and then get back to circling back, talk about meridian tapping.
Okay. So, you know, we're all familiar with our physical body, and that we have different systems that all work together. So we have our skeletal system, our circulatory system, our nervous system. Excuse me, very distinct, but they work together. So we all have an energy body. Most people in the world never think about it. They're like, "Huh?" But I think more and more people do know. There's 9 systems that we studied in Eden Energy Medicine, 3 of which most people know about and are familiar with. So the meridians were mapped out 5,000 years ago in the ancient Chinese, mapped them out, and still today, you know, same, and they're the same in every person. They're like rivers of energy that run throughout our body. And where they come up close to the skin, that is where acupuncturists put needles. And that's actually what we're using in EFT, but instead of needles, we just tap with our fingers. So it's kind of like acupressure. And then the chakras are not rivers at all, but they're more like cones or vortexes, you know, starting from the root chakra up along the spine up to the crown. Most spiritual people definitely know about those. And then the aura is kind of like our personal bubble around us. And so I think most people are pretty familiar with that. And I think everybody actually really knows about their energy because you look at a person and you say, wow, he's really glowing. Or you could say, nothing's flowing in my life. Or I feel stuck. Or I feel like I'm pushing against myself. You walk into a room, you immediately feel whether there's good energy or bad energy. If someone's walking behind you, and even if you have on headphones, you can tell when they're there. You know, I think we all know so much about energy that I often think it's like a fish saying, what's water? I don't know if I believe in water. You know, I think everything is energy, like Einstein said. I think it's very interesting. I was just reading a book yesterday morning. I have to find out who the author is. It's called Subtle Energy. I think it's kind of old. And he said, I'd never thought about it quite this way, but he said something like that energy was the bridge between spirit and matter. And he had this lovely, isn't that great? He had this wonderful quote by some Eastern person that was saying basically that the divine made all the material world out of itself and out of kind of like out of the energy spirit of itself. Anyway, I got sidetracked about that. So,
no, I love the story, though.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that must be why I like energy so much, because it's the bridge between the spiritual and the physical. So we have these energy systems. For instance, the chakras, which a lot of people know about. You know, you want your chakras pretty much to be all spinning clockwise. But what happens, as you know, is things happen in our lives, and that affects our energy. So say if you've just had this terrible love, hurt relationship, and say you closed your heart chakra. So instead of that one spinning clockwise, it could be closed. And maybe your throat, because you've never been able to speak out, is going counterclockwise. And maybe another one is going elliptical this way, and one's going elliptical that way. So you know those times where you just kind of feel all disjointed and scattered and nothing's working. But the chakras being like that, it makes sense why you feel that, right?
It's like you have
this visual picture of, well, of course I feel like that. And then if you balance your chakras and they're all clockwise, there's not one huge, there's not one small, they're all about the same size, they're all flowing, they're humming, that's when you're like invincible. You're just clean and clear, you're like a powerhouse, you're moving forward, nothing can stop you because you have such good energy. And then when we're balanced like that, when we feel like, you know, you're in the flow, right? You're in the flow, mm-hmm. Then you're moving forward, good things come to you, because as we, whatever we are, energy we are sending out, then that creates the filter for what can come to us. And, you know, we all know that. Like, if you take the love example, if someone has a deeply held belief that all men beat women, then that's probably the kind of man she's going to attract. because that's her world. That's her belief. So our beliefs and our past experiences and our beliefs and our emotions form the energy that will come back to us, which is, again, a lot of the law of attraction.
Okay.
And some of it is just not so apparent. Or, you know, we want it to change, but it's still there.
Mm.
You know, we want to believe that wealth is easy, but, you know, if you grew up with people who went through the Depression and every day you were told that money doesn't grow on trees and you have to work hard for your money and this or that, you have to do some work on, we have to do some work on ourselves to change that. And, you know, there's always going to be something, always plenty to work on, right?
Yes, yes.
But
so
it's empowering,
basically. What is an aura?
What is an aura? An aura is our electromagnetic field that surrounds us, that basically protects us, I would say, from the outside. Like if our aura is healthy and strong and doesn't have holes in it, it doesn't matter, and the rest of our energy systems are good. Like if we're zipped up, you know, our aura is strong and tight and filled with goodness, and we are light, basically, we can go into a room that's filled with squabbling toddlers, or worse. That's not actually not that bad because toddlers aren't, but, you know, you get the idea. You can go into a room full of negativity. If your aura is strong, you cannot be affected by it.
Mm.
Even if you're sensitive, and I think I learned a lot of this because I'm very sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Why don't we go ahead and take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about EFT and meridian tapping. What is it, and how do you do it? For everybody, you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and you can find out more about our radio shows and our other shows that run during the week or the month at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And this evening we have Robin Friedman with us. And Robin, why don't you go ahead and give out everybody your website so people can find out about the classes that you teach and more about how to get information from you.
Sure. My website is www.energytoolsfordailyliving. Energy Tools for Daily Living.
And that's a .com, right?
.com, yes.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent. So, Robin, go ahead and tell us what is, you know, we already kind of talked about EFT. We talked about meridians and everything. We talked about meridian tapping being like acupuncture in a way. So let's go a little bit further into that and talk about what is it and how do you do it?
Okay. So the way it got started, it's really a great story. It was in the late 1980s, and there was a psychiatrist. His name is Dr. Roger Callahan. He was treating a woman named Mary. He'd been treating her for about a year and a half regularly. Mary had a severe water phobia. She'd had it all her life, and she, like, really freaked out about water. Like, even a shower could, you know, water in a bathtub. I mean, it was a very debilitating issue. And he'd gotten her to the place where she could have, like, I don't know, an inch and a half of water in the bottom of the bathtub, but she would still, like, panic and sweat and all of that, you know, still a phobia after a year and a half. So they were talking about it in his yard. I think they were sitting outside talking, and in the distance she could see his pool. And she said, just looking at that water, it gives me butterflies in my stomach. And now he had just been studying, he had recently studied the meridians. And he had learned that stomach meridian, the end point of it is it's directly under the eyes, like right under the pupils on that bone. And so that's the stomach meridian point, end point. And so when she said it gave me butterflies in my stomach, he said, well, just try this. He said, tap right here. So she tapped on that bone right under her eye, tap, 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 tap. And she looked up and she said, it's gone. And he said, wow, what, the butterflies are gone? She said, my fear of water is gone. And she jumped up and she started running over to the pool. And he's going, Mary, Mary, wait, you know, thinking she's going to, you know, she doesn't know how to swim. And you know, so Mary, wait. And she's like, she stopped and said, no, my common sense isn't gone. My fear of water is gone. And she sat down. She put her legs over the side of the pool. She splashed it. You know, she was laughing, and she never had fear of water again. And so he went on. I know, it's really amazing. So he went on and developed a system called TFT, which is for thought field therapy, which I actually really like that name because I think that's so descriptive of thought field. You know, it's like our thoughts make a field around us. Thought field therapy, TFT, and he had pretty complicated algorithms and procedures for every type of issue. So if you had this issue, first you tap here and then you tap there, then spleen meridian, then the top of the head, then back to spleen meridian, and then the side of your hand. And so he had this big manual, and you had to carry it with you and look up your problem and follow that procedure. And he charged a lot of money to study with him. I think it was $10,000 back then. And one man who studied with him was an engineer called Gary Craig. And Gary Craig was like, wow, this is amazing. He said, but it's so complicated. He said, you know, there's only 14 meridians. How about if we just tap on every meridian for every problem, and it's only going to take like 2 or 3 minutes? And basically that was the start of EFT, because for every problem, so you don't have to know which meridian for which issue, you just, you know, start on one, go through all the points for any issue that you have. And so basically what you're doing in psychological terms is you're holding the issue, the problem, the issue, whatever it is, in your mind. And you're balancing your energy system by tapping on all those points. You're calling that energy. You're making that energy flow. So you're having a soothed energy system. At the same time, you're calling the problem to mind, and you can't have a problem and a soothing at the same time, which is why it clears. And it is pretty amazing that it can also work when you don't think it can. It doesn't take believing in it. You don't have to go, oh, I believe in this. As a matter of fact, one of my first trainings in it, I went to a workshop, and you know how we always take turns and do things with our partners? We had learned, it was the first day, I hadn't learned anything that I hadn't known for a long time, and the instructor asked us to tap with each other on a physical pain, a physical issue, and I'd never used it for physical pain. I've used it for emotional things. It's called emotional freedom technique, and we were supposed to see, like, if you had more than one thing, what was the worst thing? And you rate your the issue 0 to 10. So the woman I was with, she's like, oh, my gosh, I have so many things that hurt. I don't know what to do it on. And I said, well, let's just rate them. Okay, so her arm was a 4, and her shoulders were kind of tight, and, you know, there were about 4 or 5 things. But the worst was her knee. And she said, my knee hurts. I can't remember if it was a 6 or an 8. I should look that up. But anyway, her knee hurt. I think it was a 6. And so she said, well, I remember when I got it. She said, I got it 30 years ago. I was on vacation with my family. I was stepping out of a trailer when we were camping. I said, oh, and you fell? She said, no, I didn't quite fall, but I stepped down and I almost did, and my knees hurt ever since then, every day. And so we're both looking at each other like, yeah, right, this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, no way. And she's thinking, no way. But we followed the instructions, and we did it. So we had 5 minutes, and then we were supposed to switch and do the other person. So, you know, I did like 2 or 3 rounds, like 2 or 3 minutes. And I said, how is it now? And she's like, it doesn't hurt. I said, well, you give it a number, because that's part of the process. You give it a number, 0 to 10. She's like, it's a 0. And I was like, we were both like, you know, we didn't believe it. I was like, really? And then I said, well, okay, 0 to 10, how much do you believe that you can, that pain is going to stay gone from this? And she was like, 0. You know, she was so sure that it couldn't happen. So then we tapped, instead of tapping on the pain, we had like 1.5 minutes left. So we tapped on, even though I don't believe this could be healed that quickly. And EFT has been used for things like post-traumatic stress disorder for veterans. I mean, it's been used for really big, serious things. So I would say things like, even though it's helped veterans, it couldn't help me. And we only had like 1.5 minutes. But so then when we had to stop, I asked her how much did she believe that it was possible, you know, that this could stay gone, and I think it was up to about 5. And she hasn't had that pain anymore.
Wow.
So that was a good physical example of that.
Mm-hmm.
So
no,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I think you were going to do a demo for everybody where we'd all have a chance to work on something tonight with you on the radio.
Sure. Sure. So what should we work on? So let's see. So we could work on a common thing, like either if you're tired. I've done it with groups. I try to pick something that's pretty common, like either I'm tired, I'm stressed out, I have tension in my shoulders. Do any of those ring true to you?
Stressed out. I'll take that one for 500 on the board.
Okay. So you have to be my demo person. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first I'll explain what we're going to do. First I'll tell you about the points. So the first point is called the karate chop point. And with one hand, you tap with your fingertips on the back of the other hand, the fleshy part, where if you were going to chop a board, that's where it would be. Do you understand?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. And do you have a hand free? Because if you don't have a hand free, sometimes you could just tap it against the desk, or like sometimes in the car I do it on the steering wheel. But that's the point. Okay. So first, here's the steps. The first step is we get the issue. So the issue is I feel stressed out. then we're going to give it a rating 0 to 10. 0 is, I'm not really stressed. 10 is, oh, I'm so stressed, I'm going to run out of here screaming. It's subjective. So what would you give your stress? If you say out loud, I'm stressed out, or do you want to make it more specific than that, or just I'm stressed out?
I think I'll just go with I'm stressed out, and I'll give it a 4.
Okay, great. Okay, so let me finish telling you the points. Okay, so then we're going to say the setup statement. I'll go into that for a minute, and we're going to tap on that karate chop point. And then we're going to say the issue or the problem as we tap around the rest of the points. And so there were 14. Now they've shortened it. Most of the time we can just do the short version, so it's less places to talk about, which is nice. You can use one hand or two hands. You can switch back and forth between your hands. There's no wrong way to do it, just so you know. So I like to take two fingers, and the first point, we call it the eyebrow point, and it's right where your eyebrow kind of meets your nose, up at the top there. And so you just tap lightly, you know, about 7 times. You don't have to count, but it's just while we're saying it. So that's the eyebrow point. And then the
are you doing that with both fingers on both sides? So you kind of like using both hands?
I often do. I often do use both hands. You can just use one hand. Usually, like if people are either in person or on television, they'll just use one hand so you can see. But I like to do two just because I feel like I'll get more. But you don't have to. You can do one, and you can switch sides too.
And are you doing anything specific while you're tapping? Like,
we're going to be saying the words while we tap. But right now I'm just telling you where the points are. Okay, so that's the eyebrow point. Second point is to the side of the eye. So follow your eyebrow bone around and go to literally the side of the eye, but you're still on the bone. You're not back at the temple. You're literally at the side of the eye. There's 3 eye points. And then the third one is on the bone under the eye, right? Directly under the pupil. That's the stomach meridian that Mary tapped.
Okay.
So there's 3 of those. Then the next point is under the nose. So it's between the nose and the upper lip.
Okay.
And the next point is called the chin point. It's actually in the cleft above the chin.
Mm-hmm.
And these two control the front and back meridians, which are actually very much connected to the aura, too. Those are good ones. Okay, and so then this next one is perhaps a little harder to find. It's the collarbone point. So you go down to, like, put your fist where a man's tie would be, and then if you kind of slide down diagonally, there's a little indentation in between two bones there.
Okay.
These are really great points. This is the end of kidney meridian, and it's just a good energy point to know anyway. But anyway, that's called collarbone. And then the next one is a little odd, too. That's why people don't like to tap in public. It's under your arm, about under your armpit, about where a woman's bra would be, so about 4 inches down. I reach across my body and tap with one hand. I lift my arm up. Some people do both sides, and then they call it like the monkey, the way a monkey would go.
Mm-hmm.
So you could do either way. And then we will end on top of the head, right up where the crown chakra is. There's a lot of good meridian points here, like in the center, up at the top of the head, and then I kind of tap all around in a little circle because there's so many good points up there. And I'll say the points as we go through it. So So I'll say some words and you repeat after me, okay?
Okay.
And let me just ask you this. So if you say right now, I feel some stress, or I feel stressed out, is there a place that you feel it? Do you feel it like in your gut or your throat or your head? Do you feel any physical
chakra.
In your heart chakra. Okay. And is it like, what kind of feeling? Is it like a slight pressure or is it a stabbing?
It feels like heartburn.
Like heartburn. Okay. Okay. So now tap on the karate chat point and we're going to say a setup statement three times. I'll say it and you repeat after me.
Okay.
Even though I feel so stressed out.
Even though I feel so stressed out.
I deeply love and accept myself anyway.
I deeply love and accept myself anyway.
Even though I really do feel stressed out.
Even though I do feel stressed out.
I accept who I am and how I feel.
Accept who I am and how I feel.
Even though I feel all this stress.
Even though I feel all this stress.
And I can feel it in my heart chakra.
And I can feel it in my heart chakra.
What did you say it felt like?
Heartburn.
Heartburn, yeah, thank you. I didn't write it down. And it feels like heartburn.
It feels like heartburn.
I'm still an okay person.
I'm still an okay person.
Okay, so now go to your eyebrow points.
Okay.
And tap. All this stress.
All this stress.
Side of the eye. I feel so stressed out.
Feel so stressed out.
Under the eye, this stress in my heart chakra.
The stress in my heart chakra.
Under the nose, it feels like heartburn.
Feels like heartburn.
Chin, so stressed out.
So stressed out.
Collarbone point, all the stress in my heart chakra.
All the stress in my heart chakra.
Under the arm point, all the stress in my body.
All the stress in my body.
And top of the head, I feel so stressed out.
I feel so stressed out.
That's one round. Let's do another round. Eyebrow point. And sometimes things will come up as you're tapping. So eyebrow point. All the stress about life.
All the stress about life.
Side of the eye. And if I was doing it for myself, when things came up, like, oh, it's really the stress about so-and-so, I would say that. But I'm just going to do it generic. Side of the eye. I feel so stressed out.
I feel so stressed out.
Under the eye, so stressed out.
So stressed out.
Under the nose, I've got the stress in my heart chakra.
Got the stress in my heart chakra.
Chin. All this stuff going on in my life.
All this stuff going on in my life.
Collarbone. No wonder I'm stressed out.
No wonder I'm stressed out.
Under the arm. Anybody would be stressed out.
Anybody would be stressed out.
Top of the head. I'm on the radio live.
I'm on the radio live.
Eyebrow point. Maybe it's good it's only a four.
Maybe it's good it's only a four.
Side of the eye. Actually, I'm pretty proud of myself that it's only a four.
I'm pretty proud of myself that it's only a four.
Under the eye, this heartburn stress in my heart chakra.
This heartburn stress in my heart chakra.
Under the nose, this stress in my heartburn, in my heart.
Stress in my heart.
Chin. I choose to let it go.
I choose to let it go.
Collarbone. I choose to let this stress go.
I choose to let this stress go.
Under the arm. I probably just have it because I want to do a good job.
I probably have it just because I want to do a good job.
Top of the head. I choose to be filled with peace and confidence.
I choose to be filled with peace and confidence.
And let's do one positive round eyebrow point. So what do you choose instead of the peace? I mean, instead of the stress.
I was going to say, what do I choose instead of the peace?
Instead of stress, what would you like to be filled with? What would you like in your heart chakra?
I want to be filled with unconditional love.
Okay. Eyebrow point. I choose unconditional love.
I choose unconditional love.
Side of the eye. Unconditional love.
Unconditional love.
And also it's important to breathe while you're tapping on the points under the eye. I choose unconditional love.
I choose unconditional love.
Under the nose. Love to fill my heart.
Love to fill my heart.
Chin. I accept divine love filling my heart.
I accept divine love filling my heart.
Collarbone. And radiating out from me.
Radiating out from me.
Under the arm. And filling all those I talk to every day.
And filling all those people I talk to every day.
Top of the head. And filling everybody who's listening with peace and love and happiness.
Okay, filling everybody who's listening with peace, love, and happiness.
Okay.
Yay.
So take a deep breath in and blow it all out. And then just kind of wiggle your hands and shake it out. And then say out loud, I feel stressed out.
I feel stressed out.
And then give it a new rating, 0 to 10.
Zero.
Zero, really?
Yep.
Great. Yeah,
yay.
And you know what? Yay! It's great, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And I just want people to know that if you did it along with us and your number went up, don't worry about that. I mean, I'm sorry if you feel more stressed, but it means it works if it went up or down. Because sometimes when you actually start tapping on an issue, say if you had something that was, you know, kind of stressful in your life and you started tapping on it, it could come more up to the foreground. So your number could actually at first get higher and then drop down lower. So for the people who are listening, if your number went up, just keep tapping. And if it didn't move at all, that's when sometimes you have to do some energy things. That means basically you didn't tap into the energy body, and it could be other things. But most people that I've done it with, like 98%, it goes up or down the first time. And I just think it's awesome that you can just have that power at your fingertips, because even, you know, you weren't that stressed, but the difference between starting a project, say you had to go talk to an important person, if you go in with a level 4 stress, that's how you're presenting yourself. And if you go in with 0, you know, you're positive, people feel good to be around you.
Excellent. So this is a good time, I think, to move on in the last couple of minutes and talk about the subconscious and the prime directives of the subconscious mind.
Great. Okay. Well, I could say a couple things that are really, really, really helpful. I think if you can understand your subconscious mind, like we said before, you know, it's something like 93% of our mind. So we have this incredible powerhouse at our disposal, and we are often using it against ourselves and not for ourselves. So one thing that it's really is, its prime directive is our health. So if you're doing an affirmation or something, it's great to add in a health benefit because, you know, that's its job, is to keep us healthy. But I think the one thing that I've taught in my classes that I hear more comments about than anything else is the subconscious does not process negatives. And the way I look at it, it's kind of like this big computer or a robot paired with this happy little dog that loves us unconditionally and is happy to do anything we want. But it's this brilliant robot at the same time. So anything we say, it will happily do. So let's say you're starting a new business and you're getting it off the ground and you turn to your friend and you say, "This is so hard." Okay, so what you've just plugged into your, you know, you've sent it out to your computer robot that you want it to be hard. So the little dog comes back and goes, okay, here it is. You want it hard. Here you go. Now it's hard. Because it does not hear, the subconscious mind does not process negatives. And if you really, really, really hear that, you will never speak the same way again. Because if you said, "This is so hard," then they go, "Okay, he wants it to be hard. Let's make it hard." But if you said, and you don't want to Pollyanna it, you want to go, "Oh, this is so easy." But you can truly, because you always want to speak the truth, you know, truth heals. But you can say, "This is not easy." And then what is your subconscious mind here? He wants it to be easy. Okay. He wants it to be easy. Here you go. So just that one simple thing. Isn't that true? Don't we say things all the time that we do not want? I'm driving myself crazy. Oh, this is going to be awful. All right, here's a big one that I hear every day from people. Everybody, they want to be really nice, you know. You ask them something, they go, "Sure, no problem. No problem." They're being really nice. "No problem." What are you asking for?
A problem.
You're asking for problems. And one of my friends, you know, was in one of my classes, and she said, "Oh, I know, and I don't want to say the word problem because it doesn't have a good vibe." She said, "So I say no worries." And so I looked at her and I say, "Do you worry?" And like the whole room cracked up. She's like this, you know, chronic worrier. No worries. So, you know, the best thing to do with this is get somebody that you live with or that you're close with, that you work with, because it is not easy to hear ourselves. We say things all the time. Our words come out of our subconscious, and we might not hear what we're saying. So you play a little game. We call it switch. And anytime you hear your partner or your partner hears you say the negative word, then you think of a good switch for it. You can just say switch, you know. So it can be a positive thing that you're helping to raise each other's vibration.
I like that. So thank you for being on the show and sharing all the great info and everything like that. Just give out your website to everybody again.
Sure. It's www.energytoolsfordailyliving.com.
Thanks a lot, Robin. And you have a great night. And I'd say
goodnight
to our audience out there.
Good night, everybody.